The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're going to look at some scripture in regards to tradition. And, you know, tradition can be a good thing or a bad thing. Tradition is neutral. It's how we look at that tradition. The important thing is that we recognize that tradition is something that we set in our families, in our churches, in our lives that help keep us on the right track. You know, tradition is, you know, in our, particularly in our families, I want to encourage you to have traditions in your families. Have tradition around Easter. Have tradition around Christmas. Have tradition around special times. Tradition is something that draws families together. Tradition, for this family right now, tradition is very important. Because tradition is what they'll pull memories from. That help them to recognize that, hey, our traditions helped us stay true to the living God. The tradition that Charles set in his family, the tradition of being involved with church, the tradition of serving God, the tradition of loving his family. These traditions that are set up in his family will be very vitally important to them in the future. I can say that from experience. And yet, tradition sometimes can really get in the way of what God wants to do. But it's not really tradition, I guess, that is the problem. It's the reality of traditionalism. Here's a definition that I found that I thought was really good. Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. Now, I'd like to explain that just a little bit. We establish traditions, and our forefathers, our fathers, they go on to be with the Lord, and they have established traditions that are very important to us. And we should follow some of those traditions. That's the tradition of the faith of the dead. That's what a tradition is. It's the faith of the dead. But when we begin to worship those traditions, and we begin to make those traditions so scripturally or religiously important in our lives, we begin to get off track. That's traditionalism, and that's the worship of the things that the dead passed on to us. And they never intended for us to worship those things. They just intended for us to take them and recognize them and build on them. We're supposed to build on our traditions and grow in our traditions. How many have traditions in your family? Come on, we all do, don't we? Some kind of tradition. You know, a tradition that some people observe is Lent. Lent begins on Ash Wednesday and it ends on Easter. It's a time where people set aside for prayer and fasting. You know, as a protester or a Protestant, that's what we're recalled, that's what we're referred to. Protesters, but the reason that we're protesters is that we protested the things that the Catholic Church set up as religious tradition that had nothing to do with the Word of God. So as a protester, we really don't observe Lent, and I'm not opposed to it. If you want to observe Lent, that's fine. It's a fine tradition that people follow, but it was and has been set up by the Universal Church, or better known as the Catholic Church, that believes it is the only church. So I want to pass on some information to you that this is where we are in regards to Lent. I'm not opposed to it. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. I personally don't observe it. I stand on important traditions like Easter egg hunting and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. You know where I'm coming from. But you know, and once again, Easter egg, if you want to hunt Easter eggs, that's fine. Have fun with your kids. Just make sure you teach them it's just fun and games, and Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Let's get these things straight. Tooth fairy's another thing. You want to tell your kids that some fairy's bringing them money for their teeth? That's up to you. I always wanted my kids to know that their dad and mom loved them enough to give them money for their teeth that fell out. Or Christmas for Santa Claus. I didn't want some jolly old elf getting credit for the things that I did for my kids. Come on. Look, if we're not careful, we'll set up traditions in our families that will lead our children in the wrong direction. We give credit to all these crazy things, tooth fairies and Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. And then we tell them about Jesus? What are they supposed to think? Well, Mom and Dad lied to me about this and this and this. Maybe they're lying to me about Jesus. Something to think about. All right, let's move on before you stone me. Tradition, even in our churches, can get in the way of true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about a church in upstate New York. It was a liturgical church, and they were great on pomp and ceremony and that sort of thing, and I'm not condemning that. There's a place for that. Some people have to have that to worship God. That's their way. I'm not condemning it. However, there's much tradition that is established in those types of churches, and sometimes it gets in the way of true worship of the living God. But in this particular church, there was a pastor that had been there for many, many years. And he retired. He'd seen that church through many changes. It was an old stone building. And he had seen the church through those changes, upgrades and carpeting in the sanctuary and all kinds of things. But one of the things that they left in the sanctuary was one of those old radiators that they used to heat years ago. I don't think many people are using those these days. But they used them years ago, water heat. Radiators. And they left it in the sanctuary. It was just part of it. This pastor had retired and he left, and a new guy came in. And this new guy, of course, he didn't set too well with some of the older congregation because he had some new ideas about things. And one of the things that he seemed to have a new idea about was communion. Now, this was a liturgical church, so the pastor actually served the communion to the people when they had communion. And the people were just really getting upset at this pastor for some things, and mostly because of the communion. And one day, one of the leaders of the church came to the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I just want you to know you're doing some things wrong." And he said, "Particularly, you're doing something wrong with our communion, and you got to get it straightened out." He said, our former pastor, every time he served communion, he would go over and touch the radiator and bless the radiator before he'd serve communion. The new pastor, he said, "Well, I've never heard of such a crazy thing, but I'll check it out." He called up the pastor, and the pastor said, the original pastor, and he talked to him a little bit, and he said, "You know, one of the leaders came to me the other day, and he said, he told me that I was doing something wrong with communion because you always went over to the radiator and blessed the radiator before you served communion." The old pastor just laughed at him. He said, "Oh, yeah, I did that, and the reason I did it was because of once we got carpet in the sanctuary, I had to discharge static electricity from my body before I served communion to the people." It became a religious tradition. They had no idea why it was going on, but it was sacred to them. How many sacred things do we allow in our lives that have nothing to do with the true worship of the living God? I want you to think about that a little bit this morning. we're going to go through this. We're going to take a look at Matthew. Chapter 21, if you'll turn there with me. You know, one of the things that I love about the resurrection celebration and Easter, which is what we call it, is candy. You know, that's a tradition that I want to make sure we keep that in place. So Jerry brought me Peeps this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jerry. There's over $1 billion worth of candy sold every year during this time of year. Keep it up. I want them to do that. I love candy. It's a good tradition, and we're going to continue with that tradition. Hosanna in the highest is my message this morning. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 11. See where we are. All right. Verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt in the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed him cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" What we have just read is what we refer to as the triumphal entry. It's Jesus coming into Jerusalem 10 days prior to the Passover celebration and 10 days prior to his crucifixion. Now, to us, and in our Western way of thinking, it's just 10 days before. However, there were a lot of things happening at that time. And a lot of things that were historical fact that God had put into place for the Jewish people to recognize and prepare for the Passover. Some of it became tradition in people's minds. It was good things. It was what God told them to do, but it just became tradition. It was something that they were doing over and over and over again. It had really little meaning to some people. And yet, some people knew exactly what was taking place. So when Jesus rode in on that colt that day, and they began to praise and give him glory and honor, some of the people that were doing it knew exactly what they were doing. Others were oblivious to what was taking place. But I can tell you what was happening on that day. During that very day, the Jewish high priest was in the process of leaving Jerusalem. Actually, before Jesus came in riding on the donkey, the Jewish high priest was leaving Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem, at the outskirts of Bethlehem. Now, why would he go to Bethlehem? Well, it's important that we understand this because Bethlehem is where they raised all the perfect lambs for the sacrificial, to make the sacrificial lambs for the Passover celebration. Passover was coming in 10 days. Here's what God told the Israelites to do. He told them on the 15th day of the month of their new year, called Abib, that they were to, in the evening, it was actually the 14th, when the sun went down, the 14th day, you got to understand the Jewish days begin from evening to evening. So in the evening, when the sun went down, it started the new day. So that would be the 15th. Actually, we would consider it the 14th day. On the 14th day was when Passover, the end of that day, when the sun went down, Passover began. Passover was the celebration of the Jews being rescued by God through Moses from the Egyptians. This was commemorating what God told the Israelites to do, to kill a lamb, a spotless lamb, on the evening of the 14th, prepare it, and eat that meal on the 15th after the sun had gone down as a sacrifice to Almighty God. And to recognize and remember that it was the blood of that lamb that was put on the lintels in the doorposts of their households that saved them from the destroyer that killed the firstborn in Egypt. It was a celebration, a ceremony that they had been going through for centuries, year after year after year after year, and it had just become for many a tradition. It really didn't have a whole lot of meaning. And yet, in that tradition, they were taught exactly what it meant. They were taught that the lamb was slain for the remission of their sins. They were taught as they went through this. Each family had a responsibility to take a lamb and sacrifice that lamb, have that lamb in their household. 10 days prior to sacrificing, they would go out and choose a lamb without spot or blemish and bring that little lamb into their house to love that lamb, to cherish that lamb, take care of that lamb. And then on the 14th in the evening, they had to sacrifice that lamb. Can you imagine doing that year after year after year? How many have been close to lambs, little baby lambs? We have a little goat at our house, and they're so cute. I can't imagine doing something to that little lamb. I protect that lamb. We have, once in a while, we have some dogs come around. I get those dogs out of there because I want to protect that little goat. She's beautiful. I can't imagine bringing harm to her. And yet, God wanted them to recognize that the Messiah that was coming was going to be brought into their presence. He was going to walk in love and compassion and reach out to all the people. And yet, he was going to be rejected. That's what this sacrificial lamb was all about. To teach them the truth of what was happening in their tradition. And those who had eyes to see could see it. And those who had ears to hear could hear the words of Jesus. And he prepared them for it. But so many in Jerusalem that day refused to accept it. And when the high priest left that morning, many of the priests would line up, hundreds of them would line up and make a corridor, and the high priest would leave, and he would take an entourage with them, and he would go out to Bethlehem, where those sacrificial lambs were kept, and he would inspect a lamb until they found the proper lamb, the one without spot or blemish. And then he would bring that lamb back. And when he would bring that lamb back, it was very interesting. What would take place is that over the many years, the tradition was that they would sing this song, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They would break out in praise. They'd break out glorifying the name of God. They would lift him up. And yet, for so many of them, it was just a tradition. It was a time of celebration. It was a family time. I want you to think about that a little bit, because as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have built traditions that are family traditions, most of us. We've built traditions that are church traditions. But where's our heart? Where are we when it comes to the true worship of the living God? Do we recognize that Jesus sacrificed everything for us? He gave it up, all of it. He gave up the kingdom of God in heaven. He gave up glory to come to this earth, to walk as a man, flesh and blood, God in the flesh. He came down. He walked among us. And he not only walked among us, but he experienced the things that we experienced. The pain we experienced. The agony we experienced. The loss we experienced. Everything that we experience in our life. He experienced that. And then he allowed them. Nobody took his life. I want you to understand that. No one took the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave it up willingly for all of us. He went on that cross and he died for us. But in this time, their tradition was that they were going to, they all knew, this was a tradition with the Jews. They all knew that the Messiah one day was going to make his appearance during the Passover. They expected it. They were taught that. That was their tradition. They knew it. On that very day, before the priest came back, Jesus told his disciples to do something that was prophesied many hundreds of years before, about 700 years, that he would come riding on a donkey, the foal of a donkey, into Jerusalem. He had his disciples go get that donkey, put the clothes on, because here was the tradition. The people would come out into the streets when the high priest returned with the Passover lamb. The people would flow into the streets and they would begin to throw their clothes down, their garments down. They would begin to wave palm fronds because this was just a tradition with them. It was a celebration. And they would shout, they would sing, they would say, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They would sing this over and over and over. They would get excited and praise the Lord. It was an awesome time in Jerusalem. Better than any praise and worship time we've ever had here. But we're getting there. We're going to get there. Hosanna in the highest. What an awesome, awesome time it was for them. They celebrated. They celebrated what they knew was going to be the soon coming of the Lord, their Messiah. That day was different, though, because before the high priest came back, Jesus rode in on that donkey. And he made his way up the streets of Jerusalem. And his disciples went before him and behind him. And because of the tradition and because they believed that he was the Messiah, guess what they were doing on this day? They were shouting, "Hosanna is to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were shouting to the top of their lungs. They were using every ounce of energy they had, shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And when the people heard this, they thought the priests were coming back. So they ran out into the streets and they started throwing their garments down. They started celebrating, throwing the palm fronds. The priests thought that the high priest was coming back. So they ran out and made their corridor. And the whole place was in an uproar because the Messiah had presented himself before them. But the priests rejected that, you know. How we know that the priest rejected it? Because the priest went to his disciples and they said to him, "Shut these people up. Don't you hear what they're saying, what they're doing?" He said, "We can't shut them up." And Jesus said, even if they didn't shout, the rocks would cry out. God's timing is perfect. And what I want you to understand is that this was a Jewish festival, a feast, a Moedim, an appointed time. Jesus came and fulfilled that appointed time as the Messiah entering into Jerusalem. He presented himself as the spotless lamb 10 days before Passover, he presented himself to the house of Israel. Israel looked him over. Israel checked him out. And the reality is, the high priest and even the leaders of Rome could not find a spot or blemish on him. But they rejected him regardless. They put him out. Because in their tradition, the Messiah was not going to just come like Jesus came as a redeemer of man's souls. The Messiah in their tradition was going to come as a great military leader and set them free from the Roman oppression. Their tradition had gotten in the way of the reality of what the Scripture was teaching. It's very, very important that we hold fast to Scripture, not tradition. Tradition can destroy us. Tradition will lead us away from the things of God. When in reality, God is trying to point to His soon return. The soon return of Jesus. Forget about the tradition that you've heard with all these eschatology teachings. And focus on what the Word of God says. You won't get off track. You know, there's a lot of things that are speculated. And we have a lot of tradition in our eschatology. They had a lot of tradition in their eschatology of the day. They were expecting certain things from the Messiah. They didn't get them. And because of that, they rejected Him. But Jesus came as the spotless Lamb of God. He fulfilled the Scripture just like God said that He would. He came in on that 10 days prior. He was shown to all of Israel. They examined Him. And even though He was a spotless lamb without any blemish at all, He was rejected. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus came. He fulfilled the feast, the first feast, the spring feast. He fulfilled Pesach, which is Passover. Shavuot, which is weeks or Pentecost. And that was 50 days after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, after Passover, which was what we know as the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. He fulfilled Sukkot, which is tabernacles and booths. And He fulfilled unleavened bread. When Jesus came, He fulfilled those four feasts, or He allowed them to be fulfilled, Passover being, or Pentecost being fulfilled as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those four feasts were fulfilled. I can tell you this, if that was so important that the Messiah would come for the first time as the Savior of the world during the feasts and fulfill those four feasts, I want you to be watching the feasts in the fall that come around, because those feasts will be extremely important to us. I'm not saying this year or any particular year. I'm saying we can watch and know that if God uses the feasts, these are God's moedim, God's appointed times. And these feasts are so very important to us as Christians. I'm not telling you that you have to observe the feasts. I'm telling you to pay attention to the feasts. Know the feasts. Understand the feasts. Understand what God is doing during these feast times. Because I am absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ is going to return during the feasts, the fall feasts. I'm convinced of it. Because He fulfilled the first feast. He's our Passover lamb. Now here's some things that the people were doing. The men were washing during this time because of the tradition. They were washing in the mikveh pools, the cleansing pools that were all over Israel. They were preparing. They were going out and choosing that lamb, that little baby, little lamb that was a year or less old to take into their house, to love it, to care for it, and then prepare on the evening of the 14th to sacrifice it for the sins of their household. Fulfill the word of God. Here's what Exodus 12 says to do. Your lamb shall be without blemish and male the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it and eat it in the evening. So as the 15th, as the sun went down, as the 15th of Abib started, they would begin the Passover meal. At that same time, as they were sacrificing, the sacrifices began 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That same time as they were preparing that sacrifice, Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died for your sins, for my sins, for all our sins, every man's sins who will accept him. How awesome is our God. The position, you know, I mentioned Bethlehem, and it's very important that we understand, and we all know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But there was approximately a 700-year-old prophecy that was given in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting to everlasting. He is the one. They understood. They had this prophecy. In fact, if the religious leaders of Jesus' day had gone back just a few years, 30 years, and checked the historical records, they would have seen that the wise men came into Jerusalem and asked Herod, "Where is the Messiah going to be born?" And the religious leaders of that day told him, "In Bethlehem." They knew. And yet, they failed to recognize and failed to put together the reality of Jesus' birth and Jesus' life and the things that happened to Jesus to recognize that he was the Messiah. Just the fact that he was doing the miracles that he did should have keyed them into the reality. But they were more intent on fulfilling their religious obligations and their religious followings, the religious teachings, than they were in following the truth of the Word of God. They were religious, and I don't want us to be religious. They rejected Jesus because of their religion. Their tradition got in the way. When Jesus rode in, interesting thing about Passover was that it was one of those times, one of the three feasts, that God said that the men had to attend, had to be in Jerusalem to worship. So Jerusalem swelled from a small city to a city that had about 150 to 200,000 people in it during Passover, Pesach, and Pentecost, these three feasts. It was an incredible time. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of partying and enjoying family and enjoying tradition. But it was also a time where the religious tradition of the Jewish people took precedent over the reality of what God was trying to do in their life. And when those people came out, 150 to 200,000 people, you can imagine, came out and started shouting and rejoicing and giving God the glory, they were doing something God wanted done. They were recognizing the Messiah, although many of them didn't realize that they were recognizing the Messiah. Because those same people, based on the tradition of their teaching, 10 days later, was going to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Mm-hmm. Let us not fall into that same category as the religious people. Help us to set aside our traditions and to recognize that we worship our God. He is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? That's what our God wants. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That's what God has promised us. But He fulfilled exactly to the T, to the hour, to the minute, the feasts and the religious order that God put into place. As His followers began to proclaim, Hosanna in the highest, people began to shout and glorify the name of Jesus. They would shout, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And they would go over and over and over and over, shouting, Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the Lord God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Our Lord is alive. We are worshiping a living God, not some dead tradition. We glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And although we recognize the importance of tradition, we set tradition aside when it comes in to controversy with the Word of God.
That's right.
And we recognize that the Word of God is the truth. When people try to tell you that Jesus was just a good man, he was a prophet. Yeah, he was just one of the prophets. That's when you have to know what the Word of God says. You have to recognize that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say Muhammad. He didn't say Buddha. He didn't say, yeah, there's some other prophets that you can go to God through. No. He didn't say any of these. He said, I am the way. Later on, he said, I'm the gate. He said, I'm the door. He set himself apart as the only way to Almighty God. I know in this politically correct world that we live in, it's not a politically correct thing to say Jesus is the only way. But there's no time, this is not the time for God's people to start being politically correct when it comes to the gospel of Jesus. We have to stand firm on what is true. We have to know what we believe. We have to understand Jesus is your answer. Jesus is their answer. Jesus is the only answer. Amen? Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.